We want to welcome you to the Lord's house this Sabbath morning. We welcome you in the Saviour's name. We're glad of your presence, the opportunity to meet in fellowship together. Let me just read to you the words of our motto text for this year, 2023. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labour of love, which you've showed towards his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. We pray those words will continue to be an encouragement to us all right throughout this year. We're singing together some of the verses, the opening verses of the 84th Psalm, as we commence our worship this Sabbath morning. How lovely is thy dwelling place, O Lord of hosts, to me, the tabernacles of thy grace, how pleasant, Lord, they be. The first seven verses of the 84th Psalm, and we're standing together, please, as we sing. Together just in prayer. It's no vain thing to wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We need fresh strength for this fresh week, this new week that lies before us. We pray that as we gather in the Lord's house today, he'll be pleased to give to us the strength that we need. Father, we approach thee in prayer. We ask from the very beginning of the meeting, we'll be conscious that we're in your presence. We ask thee to come down. We plead with thee to draw near to us today. I want to pray, Father, that you'll bless this time that we spend in your house, bless the time especially around the Word of God. We ask thee, Father, to come and be with us, come and lead us. We acknowledge, Father, our emptiness and our weakness. We're never more conscious of that weakness and of that need than at that time when we draw near to thee at the throne of grace. So we plead, Father, fill us today with the Holy Ghost. We want to give thee thanks for the Sabbath day. Thank you for the day that we come aside, a day given, devoted to the Lord, to your worship, to your service. Lord, remember the Sunday school, the Bible classes. We thank you for all the young people. Thank you for every teacher, for our superintendent. Thank you for the good word of God that has been taught to the children, to the young people today already. Lord, our prayer is that that seed sown will fall upon good ground. Our earnest prayer, Father, is that all of the children might be saved, that each one of them would know the Lord. We want to pray, Father, that not one of these little ones would perish. We want to plead, Father, that all of them, early in life, will come to Christ in salvation. Pray that you'll encourage our Sunday school teachers and our Bible class teachers. Lord, we want to pray that there'll be an adding to that work. We look to thee, Father, to bless. We cry that you'll give the increase. We pray, Father, that that important department of our church will go forward in coming days. And we thank you, Father, for this morning meeting. Remember that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but we're to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. And Lord, we can see by the signs around us that the day of Christ's return is drawing nigh, is drawing near. And therefore, Father, we pray for wisdom to exhort and to encourage each other, even as we gather together in fellowship and gather together in thy house this very day. Thank you for each one able to be present. Lord, we give thee praise for enabling us to be here today, for overruling in our circumstances. Thank you for the health you've given to us to be at the house of God. We pray, Father, as we come into your house, that our hearts would be in tune with thee. Pray that our hearts might be right before thee. Your word says that we're to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to keep and guard our hearts in the evil days in which we're found. And Lord, keep us in fellowship with thyself. Give us a heart for God. We pray that we'll be men and women like King David. We pray that we'll be those with a heart after God. Remember that David, King David, was a man after God's own heart. And Father, it's for such a heart we would cry for today. I want, dear Lord, a heart that's true and clean, a sunlit heart with not a cloud between, a heart like thine, a heart divine, a heart as white as snow. On me, dear Lord, a heart like this bestow. We pray, Father, that our hearts would be in that place today where we can receive your word, where we can experience your blessing, where the blessing of God can flow through us, where we can receive in all its fullness the power of your Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you'll give us a heart that is right even with all that are around us. We pray, Father, that there might not be anything that would hinder our fellowship with one another, or anything that would grieve the Spirit of God been poured out in the fullness of his power upon us. Lord, bless this day. Bless this service. Bless every part of this meeting, the reading of your word and the going forth of your word. We pray for help in the preaching. Lord, we ask that all that will take place today will be pleasing in your sight. We ask that our prayers will ascend up today before thee, even as incense. We ask thee to pour out upon us the spirit of prayer, even in the days, Father, in which we're found. Remember our time around the table. We're glad that we can meet as a band of your people, that we can remember our Savior, the greatness of his love, that we can consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, that we can remember the one who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Lord, give us a heart just for that time of fellowship at the table. And Lord, we pray it'll be a blessed time. Pray it'll be one of those times when the Lord himself draws near to us. We ask thee to bless our evening service. O God, bring in visitors, bring in the lost. We ask thee to remember the testimony month, each one that will come. We want to pray that they will be guided of God, even in the things that they say. We pray, Father, that each testimony will be used. Remember the apostle, how he gave us testimony as a means of evangelism, a means of witnessing for Christ. Lord, we pray that every one of these testimonies might be used by all that hear them in the meetings and all that hear the broadcast, all that hear the recordings. We ask, Lord, that they'll speak to hearts, even be used of God to bring others to the Saviour. I want to pray, Father, for our wider denomination just at this time. We pray for our sister congregations just in the area round about us. We remember Ballymacarney today and think of Tully Vallon as well, Market Hill. Lord, we praise thee for all of these works. We think, Father, even of them being daughter congregations of this congregation here in Armagh. And Lord, we thank you for prayer answered for each of them in time past when they were vacant, for providing a minister, a shepherd. We give thee praise in your faithfulness. And Father, answering our cries, and we pray you'll bless those congregations. Do lead them on. And Lord, as we think of other churches being formed, we're conscious, Father, of the days that we live in, the days spiritually in which we're found, not days of great growth, not days of great development. But, O God, we pray that you will prosper the cause of the gospel again in this land. We pray that there'll be an adding to the work of God. Do for us what you did in Jerusalem when there was a multiplying of the number of the disciples. Lord, we pray it might please thee to bring us again to that place where new churches, new congregations can be planted and formed again in this province. We believe today, Father, that you're the same God. No change, Jehovah knows. But Lord, we pray, bring us to that place where you can use us mightily, even as you used our forefathers, those who were the founders of this church and of this congregation. Remember our presbytery. Lord, give it wisdom and guidance in these days. Remember our moderator, the Reverend Armstrong. Remember the Reverend Murray, the deputy, and our clerk, the Reverend Greer. Lord, we're conscious of the burden that these brethren carry, the additional burden. The Apostle Paul could speak of the care of all of the churches. And Lord, we know that that care rests upon these brethren as they oversee the whole work. We pray, give them strength. We pray, Father, give them the great wisdom that they need, sustain them. We ask, and Father, for all that hold a position in our presbytery, remember the chairmen of all of the boards, the secretaries, all the members, the additional time and work that is given to those brethren. Lord, may they know the help of God. May they know strength. But we want to pray, Father, bless every department of the witness of the church. Lord, we do believe you've brought this church to the kingdom for such a time as this. And our prayer is, Father, that you'll help us to continue, even to be set in these dark days for the defense of the gospel. So hear our prayers. Lord, be with us now. Fill us, we plead. With thy spirit, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're reading today, please, in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read together the whole chapter. Just to remind you that the epistles of Timothy and Titus are what are known as the pastoral epistles. They're especially in the scriptures to help give us guidance in the work of God in the government of the church, gives us guidance with regard to the offices of the church and those that qualify for office, and certain situations that arise in church life. These epistles particularly give guidance in dealing and handling with those matters. So as our election approaches, we want to encourage you to read these epistles. We encourage you to do that the last time an election was taking place, and want to encourage you to do that again, especially those men that are in office, and those that the Lord would put it in your heart, the desire. The Bible says if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. So sometimes the Lord puts that desire in the hearts of those that he's preparing for that office and for that position. So one way to prepare for the election and for the days ahead is to read carefully through 1 and 2 Timothy and the epistle of Titus. So reading in 1 Timothy this morning, chapter 4, we'll begin to read it, the first verse. Let's hear the word of the Lord. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Sometimes the question arises about not eating meat and so forth. Well, there's a good verse, good portion of Scripture that addresses that. Every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labour and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation. Remember, the word conversation there has to do with your conduct, your behavior. So there's not a repetition what it says in word and in conversation. The idea is to do with your behavior, your conduct, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Remember, the laying on of hands is not the responsibility of a local church or a local session. The laying on of hands is the act of ordination, and that's the responsibility of the presbytery, any minister, elder, ordained. It is the presbytery that carries out that task. So it says, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Closing our reading just there, the end of the chapter, and we're sure the Lord will add today his blessing to this, the public reading of his word. I want to thank you for your presence. We bid you all warmly welcome to the Lord's house. We're glad to see all that have been able to gather with us today, especially to those that are visitors, you're visiting in the service. We want to welcome you warmly. Thank you for taking the time to come along. And our prayer is that you'll hear the Lord's voice and you'll feel his presence in the meeting. We're glad to see the children and the young people, those that have been at the Sunday school and Bible class this morning. We thank you for your attendance and your faithfulness and your support. And our prayer is that the Lord will bless each one. We want to welcome those that are watching our service on the live stream this morning as well. We want you to know that we're mindful that you're participating in the service in that way. You're on our hearts and you're in our prayers as well. Just to mention some folk to you for your prayers, our sister Maisie had her procedure on Friday morning. It went very well. We're very thankful for that. Maisie's very thankful for the prayers of the congregation here. We were speaking to her yesterday just to hear how that little procedure went. So she's very encouraged. The Lord's good hand rested upon it. I pray that she'll have a very positive and speedy recovery. But she wanted me especially to thank the congregation for your prayers for us, or for her. Our brother Jim McAree had his treatment on Thursday. We're glad that that went ahead for Jim. We pray that he'll have a speedy recovery. You can appreciate it'll take a day or two just to recover from it. But it's our prayer of a speedy recovery, and it'll be the means of a good improvement to his health just at this time. And Jim also is very thankful for the prayers of the congregation. Our brother Wallace is going for a little procedure this coming Thursday morning, God willing. So do remember Wallace and keep him in your prayers. Especially remember David Parks in your prayers at this time. David was moved to the Newry Hospice just on Friday. He is very weak. You can appreciate just the burden on Aaron's heart and the concern. So do continue to keep David in your prayers. Remember Aaron and Ruth and the family as well. Little Ella Rose is feeling a wee bit better, and we're glad of that, a slight improvement, but she's still waiting on the appointment with the consultant in Belfast, so please continue to pray that that will come about very, very soon. Just to remind you, there is communion immediately after this morning service. All those that are saved, that know the Lord, if you're in fellowship with him, we encourage you of the importance of waiting together around the table of the Lord in obedience to his command, this do in remembrance of me. Remember, please, the meeting's tonight, 6 o'clock, the prayer meeting in the hall downstairs. We're encouraged by those that gather at those meetings. There's a good number that's been gathering on a Sunday night, and we encourage you to come. We'd like to see that number increase. We'd like to see it added to. So remember, just take that little bit of time, come a wee bit early, 6 o'clock, before the Sunday evening service. Remember the gospel service then tonight, 6:30. It will be the commencement of our testimony month, special testimonies every Sabbath evening through this month of February. We encourage you to come, even if you're not a regular Sunday evening attender. That would be a good way for you to go forward a little in your support, your fellowship in the congregation here. Do make the testimony month known. As you come yourself, make the effort to invite others. Good opportunity to bring folk onto the sound of the gospel. Our young brother, Matthew McGill from the Martyrs Church in Belfast. Matthew's married to the Reverend McClung's daughter, Elizabeth. So Matthew will belong tonight, and he will both testify and sing. Some of you remember his mother Helen, still ministers in song and Matthew following a little in her footsteps. So we look forward to his visit with us tonight. Remember, tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock in the church hall, is the parent and toddler group. We would appreciate your help in making that known, and we're thankful to the team that conducts those parent and toddler meetings for us. May the Lord encourage you in your labours. Remember, Tuesday night, 6:45, both bright hours for the children, the boys and girls. We're encouraged to hear of the numbers that are gathering in both of those meetings, and some new children that are coming in. So again, we encourage the congregation, do all that you can to help, make those meetings known, encourage the boys and girls that you're in contact with in your family, your area, that you've influence over, encourage them to come along to those meetings. Wednesday night at 8, the midweek service, I'll be speaking at that meeting myself, Lord willing. Wednesday night past, we commenced just a short little study on Psalm 121, Help from the Hills, and we hope to conclude that or bring part two of that little study at the meeting this coming Wednesday evening. So keep that in mind, and we encourage you to come along. And again, we encourage folk to come that haven't regularly been coming out to the prayer meeting. We know that over the pandemic, some things changed, some of your routines and habits maybe changed as well. So I want to encourage you, the importance of the prayer meeting. Come along and share with us on Wednesday night. The Lord willing, on Thursday morning, we'll be travelling out to Uganda for almost 12 days, just a small group. Our brother Alistair and his wife Jenny and myself going out to visit the Emmanuel School. School restarts tomorrow for the new school year. It is a very busy time. It has been a very busy time, especially for Miss McAfee. Remember that they conducted the holiday Bible clubs just before and after Christmas. And then they've been employing some new secondary school teachers for the application process for licensing leading on to registration. So they received over 130 applications for those posts. You can imagine the work of going through all of those, working your way through them, then those that were called for interview, and going through all of the interview process. And then following on from that, in this past week, they had the interviews for all of the children for the new admissions. There's been quite a phenomenal response to applications, there's been quite a phenomenal number of applications that have been presented. They had 131 applications for nursery and primary. That's just for the new nursery class and the new primary one class. That's for just from families that already have children at the school. There's always families from outside the school that makes applications as well. Miss McAfee thinks that because of the very good response they had to the Holiday Bible Club before Christmas in that Chambala 2 area where they held those meetings, that's been one of the factors that has contributed to the increase in number of applications. So they had to work through all of that. They had to decline applications for more than enough children that would have filled the second class in year one in nursery and P1 in primary. So it's been quite a challenge, a lot of wisdom and guidance that has been needed. They start the secondary school interviews tomorrow, so that's in addition to school recommencing. Next Sabbath morning, there will be a special Thanksgiving service for the primary seven leavers. Remember that we were there for that last January. So that's all the P7 children that conducted their exams. And the primary leaver exam, they've been very encouraged with the results. All of the children have been in the top two divisions of the exam results. Remember that you can leave school in Uganda after primary, but because the children have all done so well, quite a number of them would like to go on to secondary school. We have just a limited number of places of 20. We've capped the secondary school classes to try just to maintain or to manage the situation there. So remember that special service. The Lord's Day is there very full. morning meeting. Dr. Campbell speak by Zoom this morning. He's the last of the Zoom speakers. Then in the afternoon, they have Sunday school. They also do an outreach in two prisons. And then there's the evening fellowship hour. And with the school back again this incoming week, the 85 boarders at the school will all be present for that fellowship hour. So we will have the morning meeting. We'll have, that's a special meeting, a little longer next week. We'll have communion. We'll have Sunday school. We'll speak at one of those prison services and the other one the following Lord's Day, and then the evening fellowship hour. So there's a lot of matters to attend to. A very significant time for the mission station there, for the school, as we plan for the future. There's a lot of preparations to be made as well for the arrival of the Kerskadans in the summertime, in the will of the Lord. Preparations to be made for the work team that's planning to go out at Easter to put the hot water into the missionary's apartment, and preparations to be made as well for the mission team that the board is going to send out of young people that will be doing some VBSs and a youth conference as well. So we need your prayers. We plead for them, for safe travel, for help, and for the Lord to guide and bless and give wisdom for all that is to be done. Remember, as is generally the case, if you need help during that time that we're away, contact one of the elders. They will make the arrangements for you. As always, one of our ministers is available to help if he is required for emergencies, but contact one of the elders if you're in need, and they'll be able to make the necessary arrangement or give the help that is required. Remember, please, Friday, the youth fellowship meeting, it's a home meeting, and this coming Friday, our sister Hannah Carson, one of our youth leaders, will be the speaker. Next Lord's Day, the 12th of February, 10:40 the Sunday school and Bible classes, 11:30 the morning meeting. The Reverend William McDermott, one of our retired ministers now attending the Banbridge Church, will be here to speak. Mr. McDermott hasn't been so well in recent months. This is possibly the first service that he will have spoken at since the period of ill health, so pray that he'll know the Lord's help and strength. The evening service at 6:30, remember, that will be the continuation of the testimony month, and the Reverend Ryan McKee from the Macrofelt Church will be along. Ryan, very familiar to us here in Armagh. Remember that he was in charge of the youth during the vacancy, the last vacancy, over 12 years ago, and also did his final year in the college, working along with us here. So you'll appreciate Ryan's visit. He's going to sing as well. We've asked him if he would sing and testify at the meeting next Sunday night. The Reverend McKee lost his grandmother just prior to Christmas. Keep him in your prayers as well. His grandmother McKee was a great influence upon his life. It was really his grandmother McKee that brought him to the Free Church. He's possibly one of the very few members of the family that is saved, but it was her influence that brought him under the sound of the Gospels. Remember him and may know the comfort of the Lord just at this time. And Mrs. McKee is also expecting at this time, so we're thankful for that good news that they have as a family. So remember our brother as he comes along, and keep in mind too the half hour of prayer before both of those meetings. Just to mention to you as a congregation, in relation to our senior elder, Mr. Norman Kerr, as you know that Norman has not been able to vote at the meetings in recent years because of weakness and ill health. His heart is still very much with us in the congregation here. Just to make you aware that the session has appointed our brother Norman to the position of Elder Emeritus. It is an honorary position that has been created in recent years by the Presbytery, and it's to recognize our brother's many years of faithful and very dedicated service to this congregation. Those of you who have been members of the congregation here for many years will be familiar with our brother's great faithfulness, and you're familiar with his dedicated service the exemplary life that he's lived. Those that are no longer able to bow out and participate and no longer able to engage actively in their responsibilities as elders, the presbytery has created the position of elder emeritus to be able to facilitate that. So we do plan to make a presentation to our brother. We'll speak to him just to see if he'll be well enough, strong enough, be able to come to the church for that presentation. We'll keep you updated, make you aware of that. The decision of the session here was reported to the presbytery on Friday night past. The decision to appoint a person, appoint an elder to the elder emeritus position is the responsibility of the local Kirk session, but it then is reported to the presbytery. So that was done on Friday night. The presbytery met on Friday night past via Zoom. So we spoke to our brother Norman yesterday. We had made him aware previous to the presbytery what would be happening. We spoke to him yesterday. He's very touched by the appointment. He said to me that he does not feel worthy of the appointment of Elder Emeritus by the congregation here. As I said, his heart is still very much with us. He's still very faithful in listening to these services, and I've no doubt he's listening to all that I'm saying just now. He's very faithful in his prayers and his continued financial support of this work. He has another birthday, God willing, in this incoming week on Tuesday. I believe he's 85 years of age. So we want our brother Norman to know that we're thinking of him. He's very much in our hearts, and we're praying that the Lord will bless you with his presence and his help and his strength and his peace just at this time. Finally, just as a congregation, we want to extend our deepest sympathy to our brother Alan Nicholson. His uncle Jim passed away just on Monday night. Jim was a brother of Alan's father, William, that's very well known to us, the Clerk of Session of our Tullyvallen congregation. It is a great blessing to hear that Jim came to the Saviour in the latter years of his life. We know the difference that that will make and the comfort it will be to the family just at this time. Jim's funeral was on Thursday past, Thursday afternoon, in Clarksbridge Presbyterian Church. So we do extend our sympathy as a congregation to Alan, to Andrea, the family, also to William, Caroline, and the wider family as well. We want to assure you all of our prayerful support just at this very sad time, this sad time of great loss for you as a family. We're going to further sing together, please, just some verses of the hymn 615. As we're thinking in these meetings of church life, and the government especially of the church, how appropriate these words are. The church is one foundation, as Jesus Christ, her Lord, she is his new creation by water and the word. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 5. So 1, 2, and the final verse, and we'll stand as we sing, please.
Thank you.
Just bow together briefly in prayer, seek his face. Oh Lord. Father, we lift our hearts to thee unitedly, earnestly in prayer. You've said that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. We cry, Father, for a greater fervency, a greater earnestness. As we seek thee, help us to pour out our hearts and souls unto thee. Lord, remember all in great need at this time. We thank you for your hand upon Maisie on Friday. And we thank you for your hand upon Jim on Thursday. We pray, Father, give to them both a speedy recovery. May they know the strengthening and the healing touch of God resting upon them. We ask you to remember Brother Wallace. In this incoming week, we commit him to thee and guide the doctors just in all that they will do. We ask thee, Father, to be with David Parks just at this time. Lord, draw near to him. We thank you for bringing him to Christ and salvation. And Lord, you've assured us as your people that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. You've assured us that your grace is sufficient. We ask, Father, fulfill those promises for our brother David, just at this time. Pray that you'll hold Aaron, Ruth, the family. Continue your hand upon little Ella Rose. Thank you, Father, for the improvement that she has made. We pray that will continue even in a more significant way and open up very soon, Lord, the opportunity for the appointment to see the consultant. We ask, Lord, put your hand upon that matter. Remember Brother Norman, at this time as well. Thank you, Father, for our brother's labours and his diligence here for many years. We ask thee, Lord, to be near to our brother Norman. We ask, Father, to know your presence. We pray that you'll give him strength day by day. And we thank you for our brother Ken, too. We want to be mindful of Ken in our prayers. Ask that he would know your presence. And we pray, Father, that you'd strengthen him. Pray that very soon he might be well enough to come out and join with us. Fellowship with us again in the house of the Lord. Remember Amy and the family and young Rodney and all the treatment that he has been passing through as well. And Lord, we ask you to remember Alan and Andrea, the family circle, mindful of Willie too at this time. Lord, we thank you for your mercy in bringing Jim to Christ, the comfort that that is to the family. Pray it might be a testimony to many in the family and many in the community. But we pray, Father, comfort the hearts of this family circle even at this time. So hear our prayers, Lord. We lift ourselves in all our need before thee. And we come to your house, Father, to confess that need and cry that you'll be with us in our service. And, Father, help us to live in a way that is a testimony to the power of God. Bless us now around the word. Lord, fill us with thy spirit. We ask of thee. Speak through your word today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Timothy 4, the final verse of the chapter. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. The opening part of the verse especially, take heed unto thyself. Especially take heed. Remember, we are preparing ourselves for the forthcoming election, the congregational meeting. I want to stress to you that this is a serious business. Voting people into office, into the offices of the church, is not a game, it's not a joke. It is a very, very serious matter, and we want you as a congregation to take it seriously. We need to still and solemnize our hearts as we consider these things together. Remember that we will answer to the Lord for what we do on those occasions, doing these matters. The book of Romans reminds us that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And you will give an account as to how you vote in the election. So we underline to you, it is a very solemn and serious matter. I say to you, don't just vote for anyone. Don't just vote anyone into office. That's a wrong attitude, wrong outlook. Because remember, as we highlighted in the message last Sabbath morning, not everyone is suitable for office. So you need to be careful who you vote for. You need to be careful for the reason or the motive why you vote for a certain person. So don't be careless, don't be carnal about this very important business. Don't vote for someone because they are your friend. Don't vote for someone because they are your relative, member of your family. Don't vote for someone just because they are your friend or your relative, or because they ask you to. Remember that you need to have better reasons. You need to have higher motives for voting for any person into an office of the church than those. The reality is we need to be guided by the Scriptures. We highlighted that a little in that first congregational meeting held in the New Testament church that we looked at last Sabbath morning. What I want to do today for a few minutes is to give some important qualifications that are necessary to hold office generally in the church. Matters that we need to take heed to, need to be careful about, need to take heed in considering when you're thinking of this matter about who to vote for. So let me emphasize just a few things to you as quickly as we can. First of all, when you're thinking of who to vote for, you need to take heed to their spirituality. When you're thinking of who to vote for, remember that you need those who are spiritual. It's an elementary, a basic statement, but it's very important. Needs to be stressed, needs to be emphasized at a time such as this. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, said, I cannot write unto you as unto spiritual. Isn't that quite a solemn statement? I cannot write unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So what that verse does, it reminds us, not all Christians are the same. There are two types of Christians. In essence, the two types are those that are carnal and those that are spiritual. I want you to ponder that for a moment. A carnal Christian is one that's taken up with worldly and fleshly things. A spiritual Christian is one that's saved and loves preeminently the things of God. They love the Bible, the place of prayer. They love the winning of souls. They're full of the Holy Ghost. The fruit of the Spirit is evident in their life. They're always, when circumstances allow, they're always at the prayer meeting. They're faithful at being at the Lord's table as well. So there's only two types of Christian. And the question, brethren and sisters, is which are you? Spiritual or carnal? Can I emphasize to you, in the light of the election, the choices to be made? If this church is to be a spiritual church, remember that should be our aim and desire. If this church is to be a spiritual church, if we are to have spiritual meetings, if the priority in this church is to be upon spiritual things, then we must put into office those who are spiritual, those who are walking with God. So you need to take heed to their spirituality. You also need to take heed to their service. Can remind you, or point out to you if you've never known this before, the word deacon, we describe the deacon sometimes as committing men. The New Testament term for that office is deacon. The word deacon means servant. So a deacon then is a servant of the church. The first deacons, you read about them in Acts chapter 6, they were appointed to serve. They were appointed to serve tables. So it's good to be reminded of that. A deacon is a servant. That means that those who are appointed to office, they must be men who are known for their service, known for their service to the church, known for their labors and their service in the cause of the gospel. Remember what the Savior said of himself during his earthly ministry. I am among you as he that serveth. Isn't that interesting? Not as he that leadeth, not as he that ordereth, not as he that dictateth. I am among you as he that serveth. Isn't it true? There's always plenty of chiefs. There's always plenty of people to give the orders. But what is needed is those that will take the lowly station, those that will do the work that is required. So that is what we want. That is what you want in the office bearers of your church. And notice that that burden, that desire to serve as Christ-like, he said, I am among you as he that serveth. So we want men to vote into office who are Christ-like in their service. You know, it's interesting, Jude, that wrote the epistle, the penultimate book in the Scriptures, Jude was the half-brother, is believed to be, the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, you know, it's very significant in his epistle. He never mentioned it. What he said about himself was he was the servant. He didn't boast about being the half-brother, a blood relation. He said he was the servant of Jesus Christ. He was a Christian that had a heart and a desire to serve. He served the church. He worked among the people of God. And brethren and sisters, your session, your committee needs workers. So I point out in that context, that light, that to be an elder, to be a deacon, it's not just a title, not just a title to boast about to others. I'm an elder, I'm a committee man, I'm a deacon. It's not just to be at the front, to be seen, to be noticed. There is a work. There is a work to be done. There is a lot of work to be done. Sometimes in congregations, there's an increase in the number of office bearers, an increase in elders and committee men and so on. The idea behind that increasing number of office bearers is because of the increasing amount of work that is to be done, the sharing out, the delegating of that work, of all of those responsibilities. You know, it's true that sometimes those that come regularly to the church that don't hold office, aren't in position, they don't realize all that goes on behind the scenes. There's a lot of work that is carried on weekly behind the scenes that few people see and know anything about. There's a lot of responsibility in running and in maintaining the church, all the departments, all the outreaches, the maintaining of the facilities and the buildings and so on. So with all of that in mind, what you need is men to do those tasks, men to do that work. You need laborers, not those that are lazy or loafers. The Bible says of John Mark that he went not with them to the work. Often that happens, you know, there's work to be done and there's people nowhere to be seen. And it's no good men in office if they're not there when there is work. There is work that needs to be done. So take heed to their spirituality, to their service. Take heed as well to their steadfastness. If you look at what it says in verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. So you need to take heed to their steadfastness. Paul spoke about being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In other words, those who keep at the work, those that won't give up, those that don't give in, those who will finish the work that they've undertaken. Whenever I was at primary school in Carriduff, we were in craft class one day. The normal teacher was off ill. The principal, the headmaster, stood in. There was a lad in the class wanted to make a boat, wanted to make a ship. And the principal gave him a lot of help that day, a lot of guidance, a lot of support. But that young fellow started to make that ship, but he never finished it. A few weeks later, the principal inquired how it was coming on and was very disappointed to find out that it had been left to the side. You know, there's many like that in God's work. They start out well, but they don't finish the job. The Saviour said, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Notice again the emphasis on the work. But he finished the work. And that's how it should be, or that should be the desire of every one of us. On the day when the Lord calls us from this scene of time, on the day when we stand before him, that we're able to say to the Lord without regret, I finished the work that you gave me to do. The Apostle Paul, at the end of his life, said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And that's the caliber, that's the type of men that are needed for the office of the church. Those that will keep at the work. Those that will finish the job. Regardless of what difficulties. And there are all sorts of difficulties, brethren and sisters. Increasing number of difficulties in the days in which we're found. But regardless of the difficulties, regardless of what discouragements come along, they will keep at the work and finish the job. Remember, Nehemiah was like that. He was attacked. He was slandered. He was lied about. He was threatened. But his response, he said, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. Remember, in that statement, he's a picture of Christ on the cross. Remember, they said, for him to come down. And Nehemiah said, I am doing a great work and I cannot come down. And that's what the Savior said, in essence, to those around the cross that day. But Nehemiah, he wasn't going to be diverted. He was going to keep at the work. And we need men like Nehemiah, men who will be steadfast in their walk, steadfast in their work for the Lord. Mr. Spurgeon said, I have heard of the latter-day saints, but I far more admire the everyday saint. Isn't that interesting? It's a challenge. And you want everyday saints in office, men who are steadfast, men who are living, working, praying for the Lord every day that they live, the steadfast life, the consistent walk. Not just on the good days or the easy days or the best days, but on the hard and in the difficult days as well. One other matter that I'll mention to take heed to, especially in relation to the office of the elder, is the matter of signing. There is a denomination in this province that you'll be familiar with that is known as the Non-Subscribing Presbyterian Church. They're also sometimes referred to as the Unitarians. We are Trinitarian. We believe in three persons in the Godhead. The Unitarians just believe in one person. That one person exercises the three offices of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the non-subscribing Presbyterians are sometimes known as Unitarians. They don't believe in the doctrine of the Trinity. Mr. Nicholson, in his inimitable style, described them as the unbloody, half-damned Unitarians. They didn't believe in the doctrine of the blood either. So they're not very sound as far as their doctrine is concerned. The last time I checked, there was 34 non-subscribing Presbyterian churches in this country. There's one of them down in Newry that we were familiar with when I was the minister in the Mullaglass Church. It's down in John Mitchell Place in Newry. John Mitchell, that street is named after, was a Unitarian. A large number of people left his church and they founded what is today in Newry known as Sandy Street Presbyterian Church. They left because of his views on doctrine that were not in keeping with the teaching of the Word of God. Why are they known as non-subscribing Presbyterians? Well, it's because their ministers and their elders wouldn't subscribe. They wouldn't sign the Westminster Confession of Faith at ordination. So they broke away from the Presbyterian Church and they founded their own denomination almost 200 years ago in the year 1830. And they founded that denomination under the leadership of a man called Henry Montgomery. If you read the history of Presbyterianism in the 19th century, the early years, it was dominated by a great theological controversy, and the two leading figures in that controversy were Dr. Henry Cook, remember, just there in Belfast, down in City Centre, the statue, look out for it, of Dr. Henry Cook, sometimes referred to as the Black Man. Dr. Paisley described Henry Cook as the greatest Presbyterian, the greatest son that Irish Presbyterianism ever raised. He was a great contender for the faith. During Mr. Paisley's ministry in Martyrs, the pulpit cushion that he had in below the reading desk was the pulpit cushion from Dr. Henry Cook's church in May Street. In Belfast, the May Street Presbyterian Church was built for Henry Cook's ministry there in the city. But he contended with the Arianism or the Unitarianism of Dr. Henry Montgomery. So the Westminster Confession that they wouldn't sign, the Westminster Confession is the doctrinal standard of the church. It's the doctrinal standard of this church. It's a summary of what we believe the Bible teaches. I stress to you, the Westminster Confession doesn't take the place, it doesn't replace the Bible. It is a summary, a very good summary of what we believe the Word of God teaches. Our Articles of Faith, the Articles of Faith of the Free Presbyterian Church, modify the Confession slightly on matters relating to baptism and the Lord's return. But I tell you all that for this reason, to point out, every elder must sign the Confession at ordination. It is a vital part of the ordination service. Publicly, in the service, before the congregation, he must sign the confession in the record books of the presbytery. And by signing the confession, you're saying that you believe it. You believe the doctrines contained within it. And that you will uphold and defend the doctrines that are contained within that summary. If I could give you a quote, it was a guideline for elders that was issued by the presbytery, drafted by Dr. Douglas a number of years ago. It says that elders must read the Westminster Confession of Faith before signing it at their ordination. The signature is a commitment, and one must expect to be held to it. A false statement in this context is perjury. So you see, it's a solemn, a serious matter. Serious to sign it and never to have read it. Serious to have signed it and not believe it. So that's why we're all urged to read it and to study it before ordination. So the message is, don't seek to be an elder. Don't put your name forward for that office if you don't believe the confession. The scripture says it's better not to vow than to vow and not to pay. So by way of preparation, and again, as I said last week, we're still about 2 months out, just a little under it now from that election. I highlight these things to give time and opportunity to prepare, the importance of praying
for the election, praying for the Lord's guidance, and the importance of all that will be standing for office, and all that will be standing especially for the office of the elder. If you haven't done it before, you need over these next few weeks to get your hands on a copy of the confession if you don't have it. If you need one, speak to me about that. But you need to read it very, very carefully over these weeks leading up to the election itself. So here's some important matters, some important qualifications to take heed to as we think of that election and the choices to be made. Spiritual, take heed to those that are spiritual. Those who serve, take heed to their service, their steadfastness, those that continue in their walk and work, and the matter of the signing in relation to the doctrine. There's an emphasis there to it in the verse, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. It's a clear exhortation of the Word of God. As a as a denomination, as a presbytery, we take the doctrine of the Word of God very seriously, the teaching of the doctrine. So that's why we emphasize to you the importance of studying the summary given there in the confession. So think, brethren and sisters, carefully and prayerfully about all of these things. 621, we'll sing as we close the meeting, and those who will leave, who will not be waiting for the time around the table. 621, we love the place of God. We love the place, O God, wherein thine honour dwells, the joy of thine abode, all earthly joy excels. 621, we'll stand as we sing. If you're not able to wait for the communion after the singing of the first verse, I'll go to the door and you'll have opportunity to leave the service then. Thank you.